Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
We're 3 days into training camp, so let's reassess the 49ers' most important position battles next in the Cone Zone. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Cone Zone, the Grant Cone Show. I'm Grant Cone. This is my show, my YouTube channel. I am in Levi Stadium. This is someone just walked into their auditorium. I don't know. Was that a player? Was that a coach? I don't know. But I'm right in the belly of the beast, and I'm watching every practice intently. I don't take my eyes off the action for 1 second, ever. And I see every single player at the same time. All 90 people. I have my eyes on all 90 people at the same time. So you have questions, I have answers. I think today would be a good opportunity to reassess six position battles, five on offense, one on defense. So if you guys have any questions about anyone in particular, go ahead and drop a super chat. But I'm going position battles today. I think that's the way to go because I've seen three practices and no one was wearing pads. So I think I have a great feel for who's who and who's good. Now, is there a player behind me? Is it Debo? Is it Brock Purdy? Am I nervous? I'm going to talk a little quieter because I'm not as tough as I seem. I talk loud, but if there's a player there, I'm like, oh, snap, he could kill me. Now, he probably wouldn't. But you don't know. You just don't know. So he's also trying to take a nap. I'm going to try to be professional. Okay, first position battle that's of interest in me, to me. Backup quarterback spot. Coming into the offseason, Darnold gone, Trey Lance gone, Brandon Allen here. They signed Josh Dobbs. They're like, boom, Dobbs is going to be the backup quarterback on this team. No doubt. For sure. He started a bunch of games last year. He beat Dallas. He is... Man, this guy, not only will he be their backup, but he's the best backup they've had in a long time, and they can win with him. I don't feel that way anymore. Maybe he's a gamer. We've seen him in games, and he looks like he's calm and knows what to do when the live bullets are flying. But in practice, wow. I don't mean to be snarky. He's just inaccurate. And that's a problem in this offense. The ball, he's not a natural thrower. So any throw is a adventure for him. And it's like, he's wearing number five. You know, he's here in place of Trey Lance. You kind of remember the Trey Lance experience. He had issues with accuracy at times, not like Dobbs. And he's like 30 pounds bigger than Dobbs. Dobbs is like a skinny, worse, older version of Trey Lance. So right now, I would have to say that the leader for the backup quarterback competition is Brandon Allen, by far, not even close. In fact, Dobbs has been so bad through 3 days of camp that I'm starting to wonder, will he make the team? If the Niners release him and try to put him on the practice squad, will anyone give him a spot on their 53-man roster? And if they do, does it matter? He has been one of the more disappointing players in camp so far. And it's not because he doesn't know the offense. He seems to know exactly what he's doing. He seems to have full command at what the line of scrimmage. He doesn't seem confused. It's just when the ball leaves his hands, it doesn't go where he wants it to. He's almost 30. He's making Brandon Allen look good, and he's not. So one, I'd like to see Tanner Mordecai. Two, we got to go back and talk about Trey Lance for 30 seconds. They traded him for no reason. He'd be nice to have on the team right now. You wanted Sam Darnold to be the backup next year? Whatever, fair enough. I was at training camp. I didn't think that Darnold outplayed Lance. A lot of people didn't feel that. But Darnold is a starting quarterback for the Vikings right now. Fine. You trade Lance because you'd rather have Brandon Allen? Or because Lance is a distraction? He's not. Is he a distraction for the Cowboys? No. So that's my takeaway, the number two quarterback competition. It should be Trey Lance. It's not like he would have been a malcontent as a backup. He's not causing waves in Dallas. He's not the center of attention in Dallas. I still don't understand why they traded him. He didn't get benched. He didn't play poorly. He got hurt. Brock Purdy emerged as one hell of a quarterback. Yeah, that's all true. But what does Brandon Allen, why is he here? What's crazy too is like the Niners have this pattern in even years. In odd years, they usually have good health at the quarterback spot. 17, 19, 21. Usually the quarterback plays every game, if not most of them. Even years? I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo went down for the season week 3 in 2018. 2020, he went down in week 2 and never fully recovered. 2022, Lance went down, and then Jimmy went down, and then Brock went down. So backup quarterback kind of matters on this team, especially in even years, because this particular organization, which doesn't invest in the offensive line at all, has had a tough time keeping quarterbacks healthy and upright for more than a year at a time. It'd be nice to have another talented young quarterback right now, as opposed to two journeymans and Tanner Mordecai. Now, I'm not writing off Tanner Mordecai yet. Who knows? He could be good. But they won't let him. He hasn't taken one rep in team drills yet. It's time. You got to open up this backup quarterback competition. They've acknowledged that it is a competition. And Brandon Allen is winning it handily every single day. Dobbs is playing himself off the team. Now, with Dobbs, he's almost 30. So, like, there must have been a book on him. Like, hey, he's not going to look good in practice. That's why he's been on 1,800 teams. But in a game, he's going to surprise you. So I'm open-minded. This competition isn't over yet. Let's see what he looks like in the joint practices with the Saints. Let's see what he looks like in the preseason. If he continues to play like he has the first 3 days, he's not making this team. But maybe he plays a whole different way than how he practices. I don't know. Or maybe this is a bad fit schematically for him. It seemed like he was a good fit in Arizona. I don't know if he's a good fit here. We'll see. Jat is Jat, says Grant, stop copying people. The nerve, despicable. The good, not so good. I just lifted that from someone else. You were the one who wanted Mullins to be the franchise guy. Stop talking quarterbacks. I never wanted Mullins to be the franchise guy. I just said that I wasn't sure that Jimmy was that much better than Mullins. Turns out they're both backups. Joe Lee. That's what I said. I said, hey, are we sure that the backup who makes no money is really way worse than the quarterback who makes $28 million a year? The answer was no. They're both backup quarterbacks. One was expensive and handsome. One was cheap and also good looking. Hey, what's up, Nick? How you doing, Nick Mullins? Shout out, Nick. Okay, that's it for the quarterbacks for now. Let's move on. It's enough. Number two running back. This is the competition. And Elijah Mitchell has been the number two running back since Christian McCaffrey got here, but we all know the story of Elijah Mitchell. He had his best year as a rookie. Every year since then, injuries have really drained him. He's not quite the player he used to be. And even at his peak, he was not much of a threat as a receiver. He was a very efficient, tough running ball carrier who never fumbles, ever. And there's value in that. It's just that the other running back, Jordan Mason, seems to be improving. Ask Christian McCaffrey, ask Chris Forster. They'll all say he's way better. Chris Forster this morning, I'm going to make an article about it in like an hour. He says he's one of the guys who's really taking off this year, and it's nice to see. Yes. And why is Jordan Mason taking off? He's always been a good ball carrier. Chris Forster is so good. He laid it out. He's like, I mean, he can run over people. We've seen it. Like, he can average 5-6 yards a carry just running over people. But now he actually understands the zone blocking scheme. He's been working with Bobby Turner for a while. He has the vision. He understands where he should be running. And now he's even better. But really, the biggest growth from him is as a receiver. He's always been a good ball carrier, whether he's following the right track or just running people over. Who cares? 5-6 yards a carry, 6 yards a carry. But people would often say, well, he's not playing very much because if he's on the field, it's telegraphing that it's a run. And I'd be like, who cares? He's still averaging 6 yards a carry. Tell the whole freaking crowd he's running the ball. They can't stop him. But he's not a complete running back, and he's not really a suitable backup for McCaffrey until he becomes a receiver, because so much of the offense on the Niners, now that McCaffrey's on the team, so much of the passing offense revolves on the running back. So if McCaffrey goes out, you don't want to change the whole scheme. It'd be nice to have a running back who could run the same routes and execute the same plays. And I'm not saying Jordan Mason is Christian McCaffrey 2.0, but he is catching 2-3 passes every day, and they're not checkdowns. Some are, but Texas routes, swing routes, choice routes. And Forster was saying today, like, it's one thing to try to teach a young running back how to run routes. It's another thing to have him be on the same team as Christian McCaffrey and have him watch. This is how the best receiving running back in the league does it. And it seems like, according to Forster and McCaffrey, it's really, really paying off for Mason. I've been missed Team Mason since I first laid eyes on him as a player. No one wants to tackle this guy. Like, the hardest people to tackle on the team, Debo, Mason might be even tougher. Mason might be even tougher to bring down than Debo. Compare Mason physically coming out of Georgia Tech to Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch was a first-round pick. And if you're from the Bay, you remember he tore it up at Cal and at Oakland Tech. I think he won state at Oakland Tech. Oakland Tech doesn't win state. It was Marshawn and Josh Johnson. Jordan Mace was undrafted. Both 5'11". Marshawn was 215, although he never played at 215. He was like 225 in the NFL. Mason's listed at 223. Marshawn ran a 4.52 at 215. Mason ran a 4.58 at 223. Both put about 20 reps on the bench. He is beast mode 2.0. And I'm not going to say mini beast mode because he's like the same size. He's the new beast mode. And the Niners have him. And they don't know what to do with him. And that's okay. It's fine. It's good to have reserves. But he's a starting caliber running back. Maybe he wasn't the last 2 years. He's now a complete running back who can stay on the field, catch passes, run the ball. What a backup to have. He is clearly winning this competition. It's only 3 days, but Mitchell has never been the route runner that Jordan Mason is right now. Mitchell caught a pass today and promptly fumbled, which I've never seen him do, ever. He's just uncomfortable as a receiver, which is one of the reasons the Niners went and got McCaffrey in the first place. They want a dynamic receiving threat at running back. It's not Mitchell. It's Mason. So if Mitchell makes the team, you know, yesterday I made a point of them of saying, like, hey, are they ever going to practice the new kickoff? It's kind of important. They need to practice that. And they did today. They absolutely did. And there was all kind of different combinations of people returning kicks. The way they do it is, There's one returner on each, two returners, one on each side. And the kicker is going to kick a squib kick to one of the sides. And one of those two guys has to essentially field a ground ball, which is not easy. So we're going to see lots of muffed returns, but Debo's doing it. Jordan Mason's doing it. Elijah Mitchell's doing it. So if Elijah Mitchell has a role this year, could be as a kick returner, because he runs hard. He gets yards after contact. He doesn't fumble. But the way I look at it is, like, any role you want, you envision for Mitchell, Mason does better. Oh, change of pace running back, Mason's better. Kick returner, Mason's better. So it's good to have Mitchell be one hell of a number three running back. Say that. And then after that, Cody Schaefer. It's hard to tell because there's no tackling. Maybe he can't break a tackle to save his life, but he seems to have excellent vision. He's extremely decisive and he's quick. So you don't see him getting stopped at the line of scrimmage very much. He's downfield. Maybe that won't carry over in preseason games, but if they keep a fourth running back, I don't think it's going to be Isaac Garendo, who I haven't seen him in a long time. I think it'll be Cody Schaefer. And I say this confidently after three practices. Irfan Mirza says, did you see the Tua extension? I did. $53 million a year for Tua. I'm sure they're happy to get that done now, because if they were to wait to next year, it'd be 12% more when the cap goes up. But that's a disgusting extension. And it makes you feel like, you know, it's the same money that Detroit gave to Goff. And you feel like in a year or two, when that money really kicks in, you don't got to worry about Detroit or Miami anymore. That team's going straight into mediocrity. And that's what the Niners need to think about with Brock. Is he really worth all that money? And we should talk about Brock later, because he didn't have a great day at camp. And we should talk about, you know, why, what that means. So we'll get to Brock. But right now, I still want to do position battles, if that's cool with you. Number six wide receiver. I assume Ayuk, Debo, Jennings make the team. I assume Pearsall, Cowing make the team, although those two have done nothing. Nothing. But I assume they'll make the team. And I assume they'll keep a six wide receiver. I don't know who the hell it's going to be. No one is really taking the job. The first 2 days of camp, Danny Gray looked like he may have like a little bit of an inside track, considering he caught two passes from Purdy on Wednesday and one on Thursday. Ronnie Bell has caught none from Purdy. Chris Conley's caught one. Cowing's caught none. Pearsall's hurt. Tariq Owens, none from Purdy. So I don't know. I guess I feel like maybe no one's going to win this job. It's possible they just keep five, because I'm not sure a sixth wide receiver is one of their 53 best players. If I had to go with one guy now, I mean, I guess I'd go with Danny Gray. But then it's like, you could go with Ronnie Bell because he has some special teams value and Danny Gray doesn't, but he never catches the ball or gets targeted. My question is, what's going to happen to Trent Taylor? And my prediction is that he'll be on the practice squad and they'll call him up in the playoffs. And he's going to make a huge mistake in a critical moment. Trent Taylor. I feel like I always want, like, how are the Niners going to blow it this year? I'm sorry. Like, how are they going to not win the Super Bowl this year? Whose fault is it going to be? 2 years ago, it was, it's always Kyle's fault, but 2 years ago, it was that tight end. What was that guy's name? Tyler Kraft. Him. Last year, it was Steve Wilkes and Ray McLeod. It's always someone who doesn't really matter. Spencer Burford. This year, it's going to be Trent Taylor and Eric Sobert. They're going to be the GOATs. Speaking of Eric Sobert, number two tight end. When they signed Logan Thomas, I figured that's the number two tight end. He started a bunch of games in the NFL. He's always been a starter for Washington. He caught like 55 passes last year. He's your backup. No. If practice is any indication, Eric Sobert is the backup tight end. I've never seen him play in real life. I hadn't even heard of him when the Niners took him, but he's been in the league for like 10 years, and he's been in the league because he blocks. And the Niners want their number two tight end to block, and Kittle didn't participate today, so guess who started? Sobert. Which is, he's kind of strange. I mean, he's very high cut and kind of, like, he's got skinny legs and they're long and he's tall and he's slow. He doesn't look like he would be a good blocker, but clearly he's effective because he's been in the league for that reason for so long. After him, it seems like Braden Willis is dynamic and has caught some passes from Purdy, which puts him, a leg up on everyone else not named Sobert. I don't know if he can block, but he is a dynamic receiver. Then you got Cam Latu, who I'm not writing off yet. He might be great. He looks so good in his uniform. He looks like he's going to be really good when he's standing there in his uniform, not even wearing pads. I mean, he looks like a hell of an athlete. You could tell that guy went to Alabama. But then when he runs a route, he doesn't get open. Like, there's no finesse to his movements. There's no head fake. There's no jab step. He's just kind of floating through his routes. One play today, he ran deep. It was a clear out route. He never turned his head to see if maybe the quarterback might want to throw him the ball. I mean, he was open. He just never turned his head, which to me was like, you're kind of floating through your routes and you do a clear out route, but you don't even look. And then when it's time for him to block, I thought he was supposed to be a blocking specialist. I mean, he was a linebacker at Alabama. Like, he gets blown off the ball. So I'm wondering, like, dude, are you healthy? Do you want to play football? Honestly.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If there was one person on this team that I had the question, do you want to play? It would be him. Doesn't look like he's having fun. Doesn't look like he has much to prove. Third round pick. Not sure he's going to make the team. It's going to probably come down to Logan Thomas or him. And frankly, Logan Thomas is in a whole different ballpark than Cam Latu. Hopefully me talking about Cam Latu every day helps him. It hasn't so far, but maybe tomorrow's the day. You just don't know. And if he starts catching passes, I'm taking credit because this is coaching. Talk right guard. Right guard is a big, it's probably the number one competition on the team. This is for backup spot. This is the starting right guard. And the first 2 days of camp, it was Spencer Burford, which is like, you know, that's cool. And he looks like he's in good shape. He's always been in good shape, but he's not. I don't think he's a guard. I don't know if he's an NFL offensive tackle, but he's quick. He's athletic. He's fluid. He doesn't anchor well. So I think his best position has to be offensive tackle, not guard. So I don't care what happens with him. He's not the answer there. He's playing out of position. So he finally had a day off. I don't know. Maybe he's hurt. Dominic Pooney started in his place. I asked Chris Forster, what do you like about him? And he says he really is strong and he anchors well. And when a coach says something like that, it's like code to me, as opposed to the guy we had there previously, Burford. Is he really strong? No. Does he anchor well? No. You know why? Because he's not a freaking guard. I'm not sure what he is. Maybe he doesn't have a position. He's a college left tackle. I don't see how he could be a worse left tackle than Jalen Moore. My God. Like if Trent Williams misses time, a game, a month, a season, the rest of his career, if he retires, they can't start Jalen Moore at all. They got to go find, they got to call up Joe Staley. Joe, how much you weigh? 220? Can you put on 100 pounds in 2 months? Come on. Anyway, Pooney seems interesting. Doesn't seem like they want him to start week one. Doesn't seem like they may have a choice because we know how they feel about Burford. And Feliciano, I don't know. Is he there? There's something about Feliciano, man. I don't know if it's his number, but it's just like, yeah, he just doesn't look like he's good. Now, I know he was solid, but 55? Get out of here with that. Maybe if he changed his number to 64. No, that's taken. Something else. But as long as he's 55, I can't take him seriously. Kind of like when Treverius Ward was number 35. Pff, awful. Number 7, all pro. Diamond Lenore, 38, terrible. Number 2, give him an extension. I think jersey number absolutely matters. And as long as Feliciano's 55, get off the freaking team. If you're 75, that's a whole different story. 55, get out. Pooney, 77, that's a great number. You want 77 on your offensive line. Upati was 77. Name one good player who was 55 on the offensive line. That's a linebacker number. This is football analysis. You have to judge players based on their numbers. This is science. So Pooney got a strong number. Burford has Staley's number, which only proves that he's an offensive tackle. You don't get this kind of analysis anywhere else. That's why my channel is the only unbiased channel on YouTube. Not even Niners related. Every channel in the world biased about something except this one. That's right. I'm the only good YouTube channel in the world. That's how I feel. Yeah, I'm humble like that. But shout out to everyone else for doing their thing because I respect it. Okay, defense. Number 3 cornerback. Coming into camp, I thought, boom, this is Renardo Green's job. Locked up. He was impressive in OTAs, minicamp, rookie minicamp, and I still think he's impressive. I still think he's going to be a player for them in the slot. A good nickelback. But this year, I don't think he's going to be the number 3 corner right away. I didn't know what to make of Isaac Yiadom. I know he had a good year last year on the Saints. Who the hell watches the Saints? What kind of psycho takes time out of their Sunday to watch that mediocre outfit? Not me. So I figured, like, okay, he had a one good year on a team that didn't matter. Was it even legit? Like, how good was it? How could this guy have been so bad for so long and have one? Like, it was a fluke, right? Well, maybe. But so far in camp, like, he's good. I didn't expect that. Confident, big. Getting the best of Debo. Now, when IU comes back, that'll be the real test. Because Debo's a wide back. Debo's not a route runner. He's not going to beat anyone deep. He's trying to beat Isaac Yiadom deep and not succeeding. Give Yiadom credit, though, man. Debo is an all-pro wide receiver. He's put up big numbers in the league, and Yiadom is someone that most people haven't heard of. And he's essentially getting the best of the Niners' best wide receiver out there right now. And if you had to rank the Niners' cornerbacks just based on practice, 3 days of practice, it would be Tre'Davious Ward clearly number one, Isaac Yiadom number two, D'Amador Lindor number three. D'Amador is really good, and he's broken up hella passes the last couple of years, but not one this year so far in camp. So, Lindor, if you're watching, step it up, buddy, because I said you deserved a lot of money, and I don't see it right now. So I'd like to see Lindor do something, because I know he's good. But you're trying to get paid, man. So now's the time. Isaac Yiadom. Rocky Sin, no. Darrell Luter Jr., yeah. Ambry Thomas, no. Absolutely not. So, listen, six corners to make the team. Tre'Davious Ward, Yiadom, Lindor. Renardo Green, Darrell Luter Jr., that's five right there. Those five making the team. Who's the sixth one going to be? Ambry? It's going to be Ambry, isn't it? Ugh. Sorry. It's just terrible. He's an observer. I don't know. Anyway, five good corners, though. It's five good ones. Am I missing anyone? No. Okay. Let's talk Brock. Brock Purdy, today, threw a pick. Maybe Womack could be the sixth corner. Maybe Womack. Womack or Ambry. Brock today threw a pick. He almost threw a pick yesterday. He forced one into, was it Chris Conley? And then Lindor kind of tipped it away from Conley. And then Eric Sobert caught it in front of us. I mean, that one could have went either way. It was kind of like the throw in the NFC Championship game, which should have been picked, but ended up being a 50-yard completion to Ayuk. Today, he didn't get so lucky. Today, I don't know why Kyle decided we're throwing deep today. So keep that in mind. It wasn't like a normal day. They're working on certain specific things. So they're working on low percentage throws today. And Ayuk's not there. So where's the ball going? Obviously Debo. First time they try it, double cover, throws it anyway. Okay, fine. I mean, it's practice. But like, what do you need to learn about that? Like, you already know Debo's not catching that. You gave him a chance. If it was Ayuk, he might have went up and caught that. If it was Jennings, he might have went up and caught that. Debo, not even going to knock it down. Won't get a finger on it. Not that guy. So Yiadom breaks it up. About a half hour later, they try again to Debo. Again, a deep crossing route. That's how they get Debo up. It's never like run a fade. Because when he does that, he gets pushed out of bounds and doesn't catch the ball. So play action, bootleg, Debo running right to left. Just like the first one. First time he got bracketed by Yiadom in a safety. This time, wide open, one-on-one, Jair Brown, who's just trying to not give up a big play. I mean, it's already going to be a 20-yard completion, but like way over the top. Kind of trailing. So Purdy, and I'm not like saying like, oh, well, Purdy can't throw deep. It's just one day. But it was like, okay, just throw it out, just lay it out. Let him run to it. Don't overthrow it. He overthrew it. He threw it right to Brown, who didn't break stride, caught it. That's that. So has Purdy regressed? No. Has he improved? Maybe. I know some people have said he looks like a lot better. He looks like the same Brock Purdy who was fourth in the MVP voting last year. Has he taken a step back? I don't see that. There are days of his in practice where he seems to be trying something that he wouldn't necessarily do very much in a game. Like, he's an efficient deep thrower in games, but he doesn't throw deep very much. Today, he threw deep frequently and didn't go well. So, hey, kudos to him for trying and trying to work on that relationship with Debo. So now you know. In a game, if you're throwing deep, it's not to Debo. No. No. But I can't blame Debo today for these ones. Like, one was double covered, one was sailed long. Still, that's the value of Brandon Ayuk. So when the Niners are trying to figure out when to get him back or if they need him, yeah, you freaking need him. Because without Ayuk, every throw is 10 yards and in, 15 tops. Who's getting open more than 15 yards downfield? Who's catching the ball more than 15 yards downfield? Not Debo. Not Jennings. I mean, not often. Maybe Kittle sometimes. But that's Ayuk's role in the team. Maybe Pearsall could do it, but he's hurt. Latu. Was BA there today? I didn't see him on the sideline, but I didn't see him on the sideline yesterday, and he reportedly was there. So I can't see everything, although I do see everything. Leonard Floyd is like Frank Clark. He's very thin. But Leonard Floyd looks like he's going to be really good. And I say this because Colt McKivitz can't block him. Now, of course, Colt McKivitz can't block most DNs, but he really can't block Floyd. So I sort of out of things to talk about. I don't know. Pooney looked good. Someone asked. Pooney looked good. Yeah. I think that's it for me. Mustafa didn't break up a pass. It was the first. But him and Jair Brown, clearly the best safeties on the field these days. And Hufanga not back yet. So I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks for watching. Got some writing to do, some journalism to journal, and then I'll be back tomorrow. One more day of practice, and then I got a day off, and then I'm back. This doesn't end. What does Tua contract say about Purdy next contract? It means he's getting at least $53 million. Great question. What does Tua's deal mean for Brock? Jared Goff got $53 million a year. Tua got $53 million a year. The Niners can't offer Brock less than that. I don't think they can. Because I feel like everyone would agree that Brock is better than those two players. I think the Dolphins would agree that Brock is better than Tua. Tua's good. Like, he's kind of fragile and he's not super mobile, but for a guy who doesn't have a super strong arm, he throws a nice deep ball. If Jimmy could throw a deep ball like Tua throws a deep ball, Jimmy would still be a starting quarterback making money. So Tua gets credit for that, but I think Brock is objectively better than him. He can make the throws Tua makes, and he can move. So it's scary for the Niners, right? Like, if Tua's worth 53 in 2024, what is a comparable quarterback or a better quarterback worth in 2025 once the cap goes up 12, 13, 14%? I know a lot of people feel like Purdy's going to take a discount. I don't see why you would. I don't think he'll be greedy and ask for more than he's worth, but I think he's going to want what he's worth. And I think we're seeing that he's worth more than $53 million a year. I don't see how the Niners can even offer him less than that unless they want to alienate him, which they like to do. Or Parag likes to do. I don't know. Someone likes to do it. Probably Parag. I don't feel comfortable paying Brock Purdy that much money. And it's like, okay, well, Goff got it, and Tua got it, so that's the market. You have to pay it. Yeah. But as a Niner fan, do you think the Dolphins were smart for paying Tua? As a Niner fan, do you think the Lions were smart from paying Tua? Are you worried about those teams in the future? Or do you feel like, ha, they're destined for mediocrity once they're paying this good, not great quarterback top of the market money? It seems like teams that pay good, not great quarterbacks, top of the market money, don't win Super Bowls. And really, the Niners, they're just trying to figure out how to win a Super Bowl, right? They've done everything else. They've won conferences. They've won divisions. They've had number one offenses, number one defenses, offensive players of the year, defensive players. They're just trying to figure out how to win a Super Bowl. And, you know, like this year, they're going to try to do it with a Frankenstein defensive coordinator. you know, Nick Sorensen's body and Brandon Staley's head. They're going to try all kind of different little tweaks. But giving Brock Purdy that much money, is that the magic ticket to a Super Bowl victory? I don't think so. And that's not a knock on him. I just feel like only three or four quarterbacks at a time in the league are worth that. And those are guys who are like legit future Hall of Famers. Is Brock Purdy a legit future Hall of Famer? Maybe. Maybe. But I'm not sold. He's very good. But Kirk Cousins is very good. And he's not worth the money he made in Minnesota. And he's not worth the money he's going to make in Atlanta. And the fact that he's getting all that money pretty much guarantees that those teams weren't going to go anywhere, aren't going to go anywhere. Is Brock Purdy definitely better than Kirk Cousins? I don't know. So that's where I'm at with that one. Yeah, you can tell yourself you have to pay the quarterback because that's the market. Or, you know, Miami could have traded to it and drafted another quarterback. Because there's a lot of examples of teams thinking they have to pay a quarterback and then instantly regretting it. Giants and Daniel Jones. Eagles and Carson Wentz. Eagles and Jalen Hurts. Niners and Jimmy Garoppolo. So, I don't know what they're going to do. They should draft a quarterback just in case. What do you guys think they should do? $65 million a year for Brock? He threw some nice deep balls today. I'm just saying, a guy who's angling for that kind of money should be tearing it up in practice all the time. I don't know. I'm a hater, though. I'm just mad that no one's offering me $65 million a year. What about me? I like money. City Bird, thank you. Will says, Grant, you are the reporter that really made me extremely aware of what's going on with my favorite team since 2017. You're the OG GOAT of this YouTube reporting. Thank you. I'll take that. A lot of people I want to thank Kyle Shanahan. Really, without him, where would I be? Real question. Where would I be as a person in my career if Kyle Shanahan never coached this team? Would I have a house? Would I have a stinger? I don't know. I mean, like, in the way that Andy Reid owes his eventual Hall of Fame induction to Kyle Shanahan, I feel like I owe my entire bank account to Kyle Shanahan. Thank you, Kyle, for being so interesting. You're not great. You're not bad. You're flawed. And that makes you interesting. And that makes me paid. So I just got to say thank you. Thank you, smelly much. I want to say thank you, smelly much. That's Andre 3000. He was from Stankonia. It's true. All right, guys. That's the show. Thanks for watching. Back at it tomorrow. Last day of practice. Day off Sunday, baby. Day off Sunday, baby. Let's go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.